Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says in our gospel reading this morning from Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." In the name of Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. Yeah, I sometimes wonder if you perhaps think that since I am your pastor and am also a chaplain with the Norwalk Police Department, can I be of assistance to you if you get into trouble with the police? Well, I can. And I will give you a simple example. I have learned how to not get pulled over at a drunk or impaired driver checkpoint and end up with an expensive ticket, or even worse, the loss of your license. Here's what to do. First, scan the newspapers regularly. Check out the Norwalk Police Department website. Because you see, impaired driver checkpoints must be posted in advance. It's the law. So if you know there's going to be one, you can take another road and avoid it entirely. What if, however, you are driving and you happen to come upon an impaired driver checkpoint? Don't fear. You see, checkpoints must have an escape lane, a way to get around them and not go through them. It's Connecticut law. So if you come upon one, just stop, look carefully, and see how to get around it. And you don't have to worry. Do you see what I have learned from being a chaplain with the Norwalk Police Department? How I can be of help for you? Maybe you're thinking, now, Pastor, you're a pastor. You are a servant of God. Yes, I am. And so, I suppose that I should tell you, God expects more of you than just finding out how to avoid the law. God expects you to not drink to excess, not to take drugs or medicine that will impair you and then drive. That's His will. Laws, they exist for a good reason, don't they? Of course they do. And that doesn't always seem to be the case with our laws. I myself tend to think that it was lawyers who wrote Connecticut's drunk driver laws, which is why they put in their ways to avoid the law. It's good business for them. With God's law, there's no getting around it. Because you see, His law reflects Him. As God is holy and just, so also His law is always holy and just. This is why Jesus says, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. God expects us to do what he says, to do what is good, good works. They are what each of our readings in this morning's service are really all about. So, are we to do good works? Do we have to do good works? Of course. Yes is the answer. And Jesus puts it this way. You don't light a lamp and then cover it up. Put it under a basket. Lamps are created to give light. And God has created you to do good works. So, of course, you have to do what is good. Since Jesus used a lamp as an example, I brought in the lamp that is on a nightstand next to my bed. Now, of course, it's different from the lamps that existed in Jesus' day. No electricity then. They had lamps that were filled with oil and had a wick. Kind of like our altar candles here. But the principle is the same. Which comes first? The lamp or the light that the lamp emits? Well, the lamp, of course. The light doesn't create the bulb from which it shines, or in Jesus' day, the wick and the oil from which it springs. The light doesn't create the socket into which the bulb is screwed, or the lamp itself which holds the light, the bulb and the socket. It doesn't create the cord that is plugged into the wall to get the electricity. The light was created to receive the electricity and then emit light. Even so, you have been created by God to bring forth light. Created in Christ, made his God's beloved children, so that you might receive God and then shine forth with his light. The good works that you do, they are not done to cover the darkness of your sins and so make of you a child of God who is worthy of receiving his love. To think that way, that would be an offense to God, a denial of him as your Father who loves you freely, who gives you life simply by his will, his work for you in his Son. St. Paul puts things in the right order in our epistle reading this morning from 1 Corinthians 2. He says, we have received the Spirit who is from God. And so this comes first, receiving the Spirit, God filling us with his Holy Spirit in baptism, making us his children. So that, Paul says, we might understand the things freely given us by God. So that we might understand who our God is, what we receive from him, what he wants of us, and then show it, shine it forth, shine him forth. That's what we're doing when, as God's people, we do what is good. We are shining God forth. When we do what is good, and there's the difficulty. What is good? Good is an elusive, uncertain thing in our sin-filled and so confused world. We judge good by things like results. What is good is what helps those people, or brings in the most money, or gets the most praise, the most positive responses. Sometimes even what is good is what gets negative responses from those you don't like anyway. Far too often, good is determined by what feels right, by what seems good. Be thankful that God does not leave us to such uncertainty. He lays out for us what is good. Just like a lamp, there's a plan behind it for how to make it. A plan that, if followed, ends up with a lamp that shines forth light in the best way possible. My lamp. Well, the bulb is inside a cone, which helps to focus the light. It's got this flexible arm, so I can turn it to me, shine it more clearly upon the book I'm reading. So it is with God's words. His law, His Ten Commandments, they are the structure that is to shape and direct our lives so that we know what is good and know what to do. That's why Jesus says, whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Great in the kingdom of heaven. God Himself will boast of your works, will boast of you, just like proud parents boast of their kids. Just don't tell Him how He must do so. God's people in the days of the prophet Isaiah, our Old Testament reading, they were saying, well, why have we fasted and you, God, do not see it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? They were expecting certain results, certain blessings for doing what God had commanded. And then they were going out and not living in the ways that God had directed. And this poisoned what they did. Even good works that they did, like fasting and humbling themselves, were not acts of faith, of trust, more bargains. And so God warned them, works like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. He would not listen to them, and He would not hear their prayers and answer their cries for help. He won't listen to you or me either if we do the same thing. If we expect certain results because of what we do and do them to get those results. Just trust God and do what He says, and not worry about what will happen. Trust Him. You know, we live in a very confused and troubled time. More and more, we all see and know, people are ignoring and even outright opposing law, respect, and common decency. It's not only ignored, people shout at each other and shout each other down, refusing to let people they disagree with even speak. And in the church, many churches and pastors are rejecting teachings of God that are clear in the Bible, that have been taught and have guided His people for centuries. The Apostle Paul long ago warned us of this. He wrote to Timothy, "The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth." Jesus also warned of false teachers. Wolves in sheep's clothing is what he called them. Today, frankly, it's becoming much like it was for the very first Christians. But we have the same Lord and Savior as those first Christians had. A Lord who has fulfilled God's good law for us. Jesus obeyed God's law completely, not only with his actions, but with his heart. He confirmed God's will is good by doing so. And then he especially fulfilled it by taking on himself the punishment it decrees for sins. He bore our sins and died for us in our place on the cross, so that in Jesus we are forgiven. His loving Father is our loving Father. A Father who hears you. And a Father who is pleased and is glorified when you do the works that he has laid out for you to do, even if others reject them. "Let your light shine before others," Jesus says, "so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Even if nobody else gives glory, your Father in heaven does. He sees the life that you live that is in accordance with his commandments. He is pleased always. And you will see this in heaven. Let us pray. With our whole heart, we seek you, Lord. Let us not wander from your commandments. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach us your statutes. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, the fulfiller of God's good law. Amen.